Good morning and God bless you. Let's turn to the book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, which is about numbers. All right. And chapter 6, if you would stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to focus on verses 24 through 26. I'll go ahead and read verses 22 through 27, and we'll call today's message, The Blessing. We could also entitle this, Seeing God's Face. Amen. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put My name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. Father, bless us, that we might be a blessing. We know that we are already in the Beloved. We have already been blessed. Remind us of these promises You have made. It's not things we have to achieve. It's not things that we merit. It's not things that we deserve. It's things that Your grace has given us. Help us get our eyes off of us and onto You in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, when you think about, you know, how old manuscripts, and we've talked before about the Qumran caves and things like that. But currently, the oldest biblical text we have is from over 2,600 years ago. It was found in Jerusalem in 1979 on two rolled up pieces of silver like bracelets or a necklace. And they contain number 6, verses 24 through 26, which we just read, known today as the priestly or the Aaronic, because Aaron, right, the high priest, the Aaronic blessing. Verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. Now, this is actually, in Hebrew, three words made up of 15 consonants. This bears witness here. In verse 25, the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. This is five Hebrew words made up of 20 Hebrew consonants. Notice already a pattern. And verse 26, the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Peace. This is seven Hebrew words made up of 25 Hebrew consonants. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, the increasing number of Hebrew words, 3, 5, 7, and consonants, that's what makes up the words, 15, 20, 25, in each line of verses 24 through 26, show a progression of a face-to-face encounter with God. It's like a verbal set of steps into God's intimate presence. The first part of each line is the cause for the effect which follows. The Lord bless you and thereby keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you, thereby being gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance, which means actually smile, and give you peace. Amen? So the first part of each line, again, is the cause for the effect which follows, incrementally rising you up to that most blessed state of peace and wholeness, shalom. Amen? Now, God had saved Israel out of bondage in Egypt. And after this, He gave them the law. You know, the Ten Commandments and everything attendant to it. Now, sometime in their wilderness journey, before they entered the Promised Land, remember, they left Egypt, Moses, let My people go, you know, opening the Red Sea. Then they went across it, and then they went around Mount Sinai, basically, for 40 years on this wilderness journey before they entered the Promised Land. Now, sometime between those two things, God instituted this blessing. Now, this wasn't something they earned. The blessing emphasizes that it was the Lord who blesses the people, doing for His children what they cannot do for themselves. This is not a prayer. This is a promise. This is about what the Lord has done for His people. It's a statement of divine approval, not just an expression of hope. And it's not a magical incantation to gain God's support. Rather, this promise is stated as fact. The blessing was a sign and a seal. That's what we call the means of grace. A sign of His promise and a seal of His approval. Amen? Now, verse 27 says, So shall they put My name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. In placing His name upon His people, God is placing His very being upon them. So this blessing is to be used as a benediction. A good word from God, which both affirms your standing with Him and exhorts you to holiness. Anybody listening? Now, there is a difference between a doxology, word of praise, right? Logos, doxa, right on, and a benediction. A doxology is a word of blessing spoken by us to God, like we read this morning. A benediction is a word of blessing spoken by God upon us. And again, an example of doxology would be Jude 1:25. We read it this morning. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forevermore. Amen. Now, an example of a benediction you've heard before in this church would be 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Now, this blessing that we're reading here in Numbers 6, verses 24 through 26, the Aaronic or priestly blessing, has import for the New Testament believer as well. And it's a promise of God shining His face on us, so it's appropriate to look up to receive this benediction. When the minister says these words, it's appropriate that he does so with his hands raised. This practice finds its basis in Leviticus 9:22 when Aaron blessed the people, presumably with these words. And he lifted his hands. Luke 24:50 tells us that just before Christ ascended to the Father, he lifted up his hands and blessed his disciples. Many believe that Jesus used this very blessing in doing that. And when the blessing was conferred from a father to a son, the father would place his hand on his son. So in a congregation, the raised hand, why do we do that? It signifies touch. Anybody with me? Now, although this blessing was pronounced over the whole congregation, it is phrased in the singular, you. It's a loving father blessing each of his children. If you are a child of God, say amen. That includes you. The name of God is mentioned three times, emphasizing the fact that the Lord is the source of all goodness and blessing. Holy, holy, holy emphasizes that God is holy. Right? God, God, God. This blessing comes from God to us. Yes. He's the source of all goodness and blessing. Everything else can be chaos, but if God looks on you, holds your face, looks at you, and smiles on you, might that give you peace? I just got ahead of myself, but that's it. Right? Your children are having a problem, and they're eating Cheetos when they're ruining their dinner. And they're doing this and they're doing that and they're dirty and this, that, and the other thing. And they're worried and they're scared and everything like that. And then Grandpa grabs and just looks on their face. I love you, baby. Makes them happy, right? Now they're not worried. Don't we need God to do that to us? The Hebrews of the time would have understood this to be that. Wow. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of change. In verse 24, let's get into this now. In verse 24, the Hebrew word for bless here is a form of the word barak, which means to kneel down. It's related to the Hebrew word for knee. This blessing is a picture of God stooping down to touch His children with His loving hands, to provide for them. You might even say that this is God embracing His children, like Jesus who said, let the children come to me. And He took them in His arms and He blessed them, laying His hands on them. That's Mark 10:14-16. God humbles Himself. He stoops down to bless His beloved. Think of the pictures in the Bible that show this. Love came down on a ladder at Bethel. Love came down on Mount Sinai to bless Moses and the children of Israel. God blesses His children by sending His own Son, Jesus Christ, at the last Passover there. Jesus kneeled to wash the feet of His disciples. He was giving them all the gift of Himself, of His love, while showing them the way to serve others. Philippians 2:8 says that Jesus humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The Hebrew word for keep, bless you and keep you, is shamar, which means to hedge about with thorns. The image painted by this word is of a shepherd protecting his sheep by penning them in to keep them out, to keep the predators out. You ever think that God may be saving you from success? Big, big ministry, this, that, and the other thing. Maybe God knows what he's doing with you. Amen? And the other said, yes. Well, this is it. You keep out the wolves. And this is one place where people get that idea of, you know, praying for a hedge of protection. You've heard of that before. Isaiah 5:5. And in Ezekiel 22:30, the King James Version uses the word hedge instead of wall. But this blessing is not praying for a hedge. This is God saying there is a hedge. Again, this can be seen as the Lord wrapping his arms around you to protect you. There might have been a lot of things that go on in your life that you think, well, how come this and how come this? And then I think, why wasn't I good with girls? Thank God, because he was saving me for this one. I would have went astray. How come this? How come that? How come God made me 5'2" instead of 7'2"? Because I would be in prison for beating people up. How come this? How come that? God is protecting you. Amen. You think my weaknesses are my protection? Didn't Paul say, when I'm weak, then I'm strong? Didn't he say that he got that thorn, hedge thorn, to keep him from being conceited? Think about it. Go for what you know. Go for it. Amen. God wants you to be somebody and all that, but you are somebody in his kingdom, and he is protecting you. The Lord bless you. And as he blesses you, he keeps you. Now in verse 25, the Hebrew word for face is panim, which refers to one's entire being as revealed in, now this is cool, in the face. The New Living Testament renders it, verse 25, this: may the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. The idea of shining is connected with or, a Hebrew word for light. Genesis 1:3 says, and God said, let there be or, and there was light. Okay? God shining on you is how you got saved. Did you know that? 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God, who said, let the light shine out of darkness, Genesis 1:3, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The highest good of any person is to see God in his majestic beauty, his face lighting up and shining on you with his loving grace. Wow. But when God hides his face, it brings you despair. Psalm 13:1 says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? The redeemed soul longs to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Chris. Sorry. It's all good. But isn't that what we want? We're going to talk in just a moment about faces and what God shows about faces. The whole Bible is really about faces. You know, we've talked about how it's leading to that celestial city, right? And how we get a taste of that when we worship. It also has to do with seeing God face to face. So many verses that you've read before, and then you start realizing, you start going, whoa. Wow. When we put it all together. So let's do some of that. Psalm 27:4 says, one thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Amen. Let me find my place here. We sang it. We had the children, the youth sang it today. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. God invites you to seek his face, and our hearts cry out for his face. Psalm 27:8 says, you have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Now, gracious here in Hebrew is chanam. Literally, to show favor, to be merciful, and to exhibit a compassionate longing. God's rebellious people didn't deserve the priestly blessing, but God gave it to them because of who He is. Exodus 34:6 says, the Lord, a good and great and merciful God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfastness, love, and faithfulness. And each time the people turned away from the Lord, He promised to treat them with mercy and compassion. Our youth read 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are known, by my name, all that, we know that. But He also says in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 9, He doesn't repeat Himself, you know what I mean? For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away His face from you. If you return to Him, isn't it that way? I want the pastor to pay attention to me. I need my wife or my husband to pay attention to me. I want my children to pay attention to me, not just when I have things in my hands, but when my hands are empty. We used to have a sign around our house that said, a man who's truly rich is one whose children run into his arms when his hands are empty. You know? We want God to smile on us, to look on us, to give us that peace, to know that favor. And we want that back from our children. God wants you. He doesn't need anything. But what you need is for that connection. You know, just watch. Friendship, back to back. Back to back. Partner, stick your arms out like you're blocking something. All right? Face to face. She'll remind me that I didn't remove her glasses, but that's okay. Face to face. Face to face. I mean, people watching us online, hey, man, hallelujah. But face to face. Are you with me?
Amen.
He's not going to turn His face away from you. Repentance involves seeking God's grace by seeking His face. The face of God radiates His divine, unmerited favor, which we call grace. Look at His face, then you get grace. Amen. That wasn't in your notes, so you won't find it there. Look for His face. That's where is grace. Now, verse 26, like verse 25, speaks of God's face upon you. In verse 25, when God shines His face on you, it radiates His gracious favor on you. It's God's smile. In verse 26, when God lifts up His countenance on you, it brings you peace. It's God's constant attention. Isn't it that way when your children are in the pool for the first few times? Like, look at me, I'm doing a cannonball. I know, because you got me wet. But, look at me. When they're at the YMCA learning, look at me. And they will notice if you're not looking. Right? Would that we would bother God like that. It doesn't bother Him. He's just shining like the sun, the S-O-N. Brings you peace. It's God's constant attention. And the Hebrew word for peace is a word shalom, which means completeness or wholeness. Wholeness. You are busted apart, broken, and He makes you whole. And it comes from the root word shalom, which means to restore and make even better than the original state. You can have it all together. You're not broken. You have all the money, you have all the degrees, you have all the ladies, you got all the wisdom, you got all the everything. And then God reminds you or shows you that without Him, it's nothing. That's the whole book of Ecclesiastes. He went from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing. Not that those things are bad, but without God, and I have a saying, if God's not in it, you don't want it. But with God, things are all brought together. Better than the original state. That's something. Now, this shalom, this peace, is much more than the absence of conflict. It's an overall sense of well-being. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This blessing explains why faces are so important. It's because God made us with faces so that He could shine His face on ours. God wants to show His face to you. The story of the Bible is the story of faces. Creation. This was God making us in His image with faces. The fall. This was hiding our faces in shame. The struggle. This is our wrestling with God to see His face. Redemption. This is seeing God's glory in the face of Christ and living in the hope of glory until the consummation. This is when we see God face to face. People are made in God's image. James 3:9 says, no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. This tells you that how we treat God's image in others is a direct reflection of how we relate to God. Christian, God has smiled on you. And knowing God's favorable countenance, His shining face upon you, should not only transform your understanding of where you stand with God, but it should also transform your view of others, since others share in the same image of God. You should act like those that know God have been smiled on by God. And you should act like those who don't know God can be smiled on by God. Amen? You should want them to be smiled on by God. In fact, this could be a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, please smile upon them. And your acts of mercy are like your face shining on your neighbor. It's a means by which you love God or despise God. Jesus told us that whoever has seen Him has seen the Father. And Paul declared that the glory of God has been unveiled in the face of Christ. Moses saw God's glory, but he was not allowed to see God's face. But for the Christian, the Holy Spirit uses God's word to help you see what Moses longed to see but could not. The glory of God was revealed when Jesus entered the world. Still, as 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I've been fully known. And what the Aaronic or priestly blessing declared prospectively is now being granted to you progressively as you're being transformed from one degree of glory to another by gazing in faith upon Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 3:18. And then, one day, when Jesus returns, we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. That's 1 John 3:2. We shall see Him face to face. Therefore, when the Aaronic blessing is pronounced over you today, it is a gospel blessing. And it reminds you to live every day, every moment of your life, coram Deo. In other words, before the face of God. As you go into the world, you do not leave the presence of God because His blessing has set His name upon you. Now, let's put this picture together. You're getting so tall, it's not going to work, but that's okay. The Lord will kneel down and put His arms around you to protect you. The Lord will smile on you and put His favor on you. The Lord will keep His attention on you and make you whole. I love you. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and bring you peace. Heavenly Father, You are most gracious and kind. You're incredible. You're beyond that. You can do above all we can ask or think. And this word gives us something to think about. That we would see your face in your word by your spirit for your glory in the name of Christ. Amen.